Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
So what Paul is writing back to the Colossian church is he's telling them about what he's learned about making disciples and how you can take these five must-haves that you'll need when you make disciples so that you can be effective in making disciples.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Serving God is the most fulfilling pursuit of all, but when you begin taking on the roles and responsibilities that come with ministry, you need to be prepared for some unique challenges. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff teaches a crucial lesson on giving God your best and outlines the biblical do's and don'ts of growing your ministry. We're opening our Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 24, as we go deeper into our current series, Focused. And if you ever miss one of these programs here on the radio, you can always listen at our website, bravemedia.online. But right now, let's join Pastor Jeff as he begins the second part of a three-day message titled, Ministry Musts.
Hear what Paul is spelling out is his heart for how he made disciples and what the Colossian church can learn from him as they begin to make disciples. These are ministry musts. You must have these if you're going to begin to pour into other people. You must recognize these are coming and be ready to endeavor in them. And the first is this. And I'm going to say it this way. I'm going to say for the sake of Christ and for the sake of others, every point is made that way. Why? Because at the end of the day, every reason that we're here is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So who's it for? For Christ's sake and for others' sake, this is where these ministry musts come out of. You'll see it in the text. And the first is this. For Christ and for the sake of others, rejoice in suffering. For Christ and for the sake of others, rejoice in suffering. Notice what he starts this section by saying. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for who? For your sake. When you engage in advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, suffering is inherent in what you do. And the knee-jerk reaction when you suffer is not to rejoice. And yet, if you read through the New Testament, just do a study on the word suffering, it's everywhere in the New Testament. It's all over the place in the New Testament. And yet, when these disciple makers are talking about suffering, they talk about their attitude. There needs to be an attitude with the expectation of what's coming. The attitude needs to be rejoice with the suffering that you're going to endure. And I want to encourage you, we don't have time today, but go back and read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, because Paul is not just writing this as someone that says, hey, you guys are going to suffer. I know I have. Paul suffered more than anybody. I mean, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was left for dead. He was hated by people inside the church. He was hated by people outside the church. And all he did was love Jesus and care for people. Right? I mean, so we're listening to someone who's walked the same path. Jesus walked the same path. Paul walked the same path. Peter walked the same path. You're going to walk the same path. So I'm telling you, as your pastor, don't be surprised when you suffer for only wanting to do good. So Pastor Jeff, how does that work itself out? Here's how it works itself out. You decide, hey, listen, you know what? I really do need to get plugged into the church. I really do need to be part of community. I really do need to go. And you start going and you realize, like I realize, like the title of the book says, everybody's normal till you get to know them. And then you don't like going as much, but then God starts calling you to lead a group. And I've heard this time and time and time again with people that start leading a group in our church. And they'll come to me and say something like this, Pastor Jeff, I now hate who I used to be in the group. I was the one that didn't come, like if it was like a bad weather. I'm the one that didn't come if I didn't feel like. I'm the one that didn't come. Now I'm leading the group and everybody's doing that to me. I hate it. And I'm like, yeah, God's just growing you. Discipleship is hard. Why do you think in Jesus' ministry he was constantly pulling away to talk to his dad? Why do you think he didn't want to go with his disciples all the time? Why do you think very early in the morning and late at night he went to solitary places where there he could pray? Because he had to get away from all he was seeing. I mean, with his own earthly eyes, he was looking and saying, this isn't going so well. If you start walking with the Lord in a way where you're making disciples, you'll have those same moments. where you're asking the Lord, why am I doing what I'm doing? And you realize that your pain is causing you to realize, to rejoice in what who you are in Christ and what is ultimately coming. I'm just telling you, Brave Church, rejoice in your sufferings. When you suffer, it's just a glimpse of the Lord saying, oh yeah, I know how that feels. There's nothing you could bring to the Lord and say, Lord, this is really hurtful and this is really painful and I don't really like this. Or he would say, I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I just feel like people are against me. And Jesus would say, I know exactly how that feels. Anything that you would bring before Jesus, he's like, I get it. I know. I'm human. I'm God. I get it all. I've been tempted in every way you are, yet without sin. I can identify with you. So I'm just encouraging you, Brave Church, for Christ and for the sake of others, as you're making disciples, rejoice in suffering. Number two is this. For Christ and for the sake of others, steward your best in the church. Steward your best in the church. Notice verse 25. Of this I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed upon me for your benefit. Right? Again, you see, for the sake of others. Paul is saying the reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because now I've met Epaphras, and now I've led Epaphras to the Lord, and now Epaphras has formed this church, and I'm doing what I'm doing so that you can experience the fullness of who God is in your life. Now, where do you get this whole idea of stewarding your best? Notice this word, stewardship. It comes from the Greek word koinomia. It means, it's like a house manager. It means you manage everything. Why was Paul doing what he was doing? Because he had been given a management responsibility from God that was bestowed upon him that he was going to give an account to someday. Do you realize, church, that when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he imparted gifts into your life, and there's certain things that only you can do, and there's certain ways he wants you to act, and there's certain things he wants you to be that only you can be, and you're a manager and a steward of those things, and you'll be held accountable to God for those things someday. Now, here's what that means. Think about this. Everything you have, every resource you have, every gifting you have has all been given to you by God for whose sake? For Christ's sake and for the sake of others. Here's our knee jerk when we're making disciples. We think that everything we have is first and foremost for us, and anything that's a little extra or leftover gets to go to God and his people. The Bible says just the opposite. Everything you have is God's. Manage it well in such a way that because Christ is in you, the way in which he would use all your resources is the way that you're using all your resources. It means this. It's a refocus in our lives to recognize that everything we have is for God and for us to be his best for the benefit of others. This is what Paul is saying. Now, there's other scriptures in the Bible that highlight the same truth. I mean, think about Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. We have the parable of the talents. And in that story, we have the idea of responsibility and accountability. Because in this parable, there was one man given five talents. There was one man given two, and there was one man given one. Now, a talent is an exorbitant amount of money. It would have taken care of you for a long time. The man who had five went and invested his five, and when the master comes back, he takes it to the master. He's like, hey, you gave me five. I'm giving you more back than what you even gave me because these weren't mine. They're yours, and I want you to be blessed by them. The man with two did the same thing. He immediately went out and invested his, and when the master came back, he said, hey, you gave me two. I brought you back two more because these aren't mine, they're yours. But what did the guy with the one talent do? He went and dug a hole. He went and buried it. And when the master came back, here's what he said to him. I knew you were a hard man reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you didn't sow seed. What was he saying? Here's what I know about you. You're a hard guy and I don't like you and I don't care about what you gave. And here's your stupid talent back anyway because I never wanted it to begin with. That's what he's saying. Why? Because he didn't have a relationship with God. He didn't have a relationship with the Lord. He thought everything he had been given was from him, and anything the Lord poured out, you know, he didn't want anything to do with it. Nah, I'll just throw that to the side. I don't need to do that. He lived his life completely for himself. And what does the master say when he comes home? You wicked, lazy servant, throw him into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And oh, by the way, take his one talent and give it to the one with 10, for whoever has will be given more, right? So that sounds unfair. It's not unfair. It's Jesus saying you have a responsibility and accountability with everything you have to serve God at his best. You say, well, how do you get that he's supposed to serve in the church? Like, where do we get this out of the text? Notice this. Paul says in verse 25, I was made minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit. Whose benefit? The Colossian church's benefit, right? Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If you want to do things for the Lord, put your highest and best resources into the church. If you don't attend Brave Church, you're just visiting, you're out of town, go to your church and give your highest and best to your church. It means this: be involved in community at the highest way you can possibly be. Be involved with your resources at the highest way you can possibly be. Be involved with your time at the highest way you can possibly be. And use your gifting at the highest way you can possibly be. Because I want to tell you something. Christians, listen to me. On Judgment Day, there is a return on investment. There is not one of us standing here, including your pastor, that will ever say, I gave too much. I gave too much of my time. I gave too much of my money. I gave too much of my resources. I love the church too much. There's not one of you that will say that, I promise you. But there may be some of you standing there that will say, I wish I would have given a little more. Wish I wouldn't have been so about me. And here's the lie of the enemy. Here's what it'll tell you. You don't have much to give yet. So just wait. Wait until you get a little older. Wait until you get married. Wait until you have kids. Wait until you get a real job that pays you real money. Wait until. Here's what Jesus does. Have you ever seen stories in the Bible where Jesus just takes a little bit and makes a lot out of it? I mean, they're all over the place. I mean, the most popular one is the feeding of the 5,000. Just bring God what you got now. Give him everything you have and see what he does with it. See, he's just looking for today because this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in that. And for many of us, we think, no, I just want to attend services. I'm good with that. I love Jesus. I'm fine. God wants you to get invested in the lives of other people for his sake and for the sake of his church. The best place you can give your resources is the church. Why? Because he established the church. He promised to bless the church. He's coming back for his church. Clear? Paul's giving his life for the church of Jesus Christ. So bring your highest and best to him. Now, it doesn't mean, let me be crystal clear, it doesn't mean you quit your day job, go to seminary, and become a pastor. It doesn't mean you need to be like a professional clergyman or something like this. It's not what it means. I mean, what was Paul? He was a tent maker. What was Peterman? Peter, he was a fisherman. Peterman. What was Peter? He's a fisherman, right? I mean, but what you don't read about is how Peter wanted to start Bass Pro Shops and do a little work on the side. And what you don't read about is how Paul wanted to start REI and do a little ministry on the side. They used what they had so they could give their highest and best to the church. They're not remembered for their fishing expertise or their tent-making ability. As a matter of fact, Peter wasn't a very good fisherman. In every story you read, it was Jesus caught way more fish than Peter ever did. Right? You don't have to be good at your job. Your job is just your missionary service so you can steward your best into the church. So just be who you are. If you work in the business sector, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a coach, if you're a teacher, whatever you do, that's just your day job that you're using to make disciples. That's just paying the bills so you can make disciples, because the most important thing you can do on this earth is make disciples. Amen? So steward your best in the church. Ministry must. Rejoice in suffering. Steward your best in the church. Why is that important? Because there's this knee-jerk thing that we think we get to figure out where we want to steward our best. I don't know if I like the church. I'm just going to give some money over here. I like what they're doing over there. I think I'll just get involved over there. I don't know that I want to get involved in the church at the highest level, but I'll go to church. That's the knee jerk. Spiritual training would say my highest and best goes to my local church, and anything else is in addition to what I get to do there. That's what a spiritual man or woman would say. Let me give you number three. I'll be short on this. I'm going to do a whole series on it in the spring. For Christ and the sake of others, minister the word of God. Notice what Paul says, end of verse 25, he's bestowing on me for your benefit so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word. What was Paul's calling? His calling was to be an apostle to the Gentiles. His calling was to preach the word, to preach Christ. All of us are called to minister the word. Why was Paul's ministry so effective? We could give a lot of reasons. One, he was faithful. Two, he was filled with the Spirit. He did what Jesus wanted him to do. But it all centered upon the word of God. You study anybody in church history whose ministry have lasted the test of time or have bore great fruit. They're all based upon men and women who championed the word of God. I'll go so far as to say this. If your ministry is not founded upon the word of God, if it's not central to what you are doing on judgment day, you can be assured your ministry will count for nothing. Nothing. I'm talking about the preaching of the word. I'm talking about the teaching of the word. I'm talking about the living of the word. I'm talking about just like this is consuming to who you are. You may not have the gift of teaching. You may not ever be able to open up a text of the Bible and exposit it and teach it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you learn what it means to be a godly man or a godly woman and you know how to impart that based upon what the word of God teaches, that's what I'm talking about. Let everything flow from the word of God. And why do I say that? I'm going to spend a whole season next year talking about this. It's because we have so much ministry that's done in our culture apart from this word. Like there's nothing to be said. I listen to a lot of preachers. I appreciate men that open up the word of God and speak it. Like even if they're, quote, boring or they're not entertaining, doesn't bother me so much as long as they're faithful to this book. But how many get up and teach and it's just like, what are you talking about? Like, where are you getting that? God's not saying anything that you're saying, and all you're doing is kind of sticking on a few scriptures to support what you're saying. Here's what that ministry will count for someday. Nothing. Nothing. Can God still use that? Yeah, God used a donkey in the Old Testament. I mean, God can use anybody, anywhere. But if you want to have fruitful ministry, use the word of God. If you want to counsel people, use the word of God. If you want to teach people, use the word of God. If you want to shepherd your kids, use the word of God. God has given us so much instruction here as to how he wants us to live. You want to learn how to do missions, use the word of God. You want to learn what the church is supposed to be, use the word of God. The word of God is everything. And there's a temptation everywhere to punt the word of God. There's a temptation everywhere to make sure that our ministries make other people comfortable. There's a temptation for me all the time, every single week, to say, I don't want to preach this one. This one's a congregational trimmer. I mean, people really don't want to hear this. But I've been preaching this book now for 25 years, and I've been the pastor of this church for almost 9, and here's what I've learned. People that love Jesus want the fullness of the word of God. I mean, people that really love Jesus would just say, Pastor Jeff, just tell us what God says. We know it's not you talking anyway. We don't really care what you have to say. Tell us what God has to say, right? And I realize that's what our church is going to be built on. So it may never be the biggest, may never be the most fun. It certainly won't be the most popular. You don't have a cool pastor. I'm just not cool, right? But I want to be faithful in what Jesus says, right? Use the word of God. We'll talk more about this as we go on. Why is this important? Well, the Bible gives us a reason. I mean, there's so many verses. I'll just give you a couple today. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correcting, and for training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, but you must know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. In other words, these are not man's words, these are God's words, and every bit of them are God-breathed and they're useful for everything. Now, why is this important? Here's why it's important, and I won't say much on this. Just look at our culture for a minute. Just look at it. If you think it's going in the right direction, you need to read your Bible. Okay, it is going so far. I mean, just watch what's going on in political. I'm not talking any parties. I'm just talking, just look what's going on in the political world. But that's downstream from where our culture is. That's just all our culture saying that's what we want. I'm telling you, if everybody in our culture sat under the word of God like this for the last 40 years, we wouldn't be having those discussions. But because we're having those discussions, now people in culture are trying to say that people like me that preach the word of God are fundamentalists, bigoted, and a danger to our society. I'm not a danger to our society. I'm a prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you the truth. Amen? And we need more and more of that. So just understand, if you go down that way, just make sure that your ministry is centered on the word of God. I'm tired of watching talk shows with pastors on them. They're like, oh, I can't really believe the whole thing. No, I don't believe the whole thing. I believe the whole thing. There's even parts of this book I don't quite understand yet. And I probably couldn't even explain them to you. I can make my best. I don't get it. I'll ask God when I get there, but I know it's true. And when he reveals it all, I'll be like, I knew it was true. I couldn't defend it, but I knew it was true. This book is true. You'll know it someday. Hang on to it. Make it the primary part of what you do in your ministry. If you want to have effective ministry and effective service to the King, make the Word of God foundational. Fourth, do this. For Christ and for the sake of others, reveal the riches of God's glory, which is Christ in you. Notice what he says. These two verses are some of the two most powerful verses in the entire New Testament, in my opinion. Paul talks about the preaching of the Word of God at the end of verse 25. The Word of God. What's the Word of God? That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. So what's this Word of God? What has been hidden in past ages and generations, meaning people in the Old Testament never got to experience nor see what is now reality and has been manifested in or made known to New Testament saints. I mean, there is a mystery. Mystery means it was not known. Now it's experienced. We didn't understand it. We didn't see it. Now we're living it. What is that? And here's what he says. Verse 27. I love this verse. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory. What's the riches of God's glory? Is he going to talk about money next? Is he going to talk about having a fat bank account? He's going to talk about the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You didn't respond well enough, so I'm going to teach you how to respond when you hear this, okay? So when you hear that Christ is now in you, the God of the universe that created everything, that sustained everything, that died for you, that rose for you, he's now in you. Here's what you should say when you hear the end of that verse. When you say, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, here's what you should say very loudly. It's like, whoa. Okay, so I'm going to read it again just so you can get it. So here's the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whoa. I mean, there's no other faith that makes that claim. Muhammad never claimed he was going to come into his followers. Confucius or Buddha never claimed that because they wouldn't fit. I mean, there's no other faith in the world that makes that claim. Why do we make that claim? We make that claim because it's true. That when you trust Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins, when you're repenting of sins and trusting in Jesus, here's the truth. The God of the universe comes to indwell you through his Holy Spirit. He's in you. Now think about this. In the Old Testament, where did he dwell? Dwelled in the heavens. Then he came and dwelled in the tabernacle. Then we see him in the Ark of the Covenant. God is so powerful that when they tried to roll the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem rather than carry it like they were supposed to and put it on a cart and the cart was going to fall and Uzzah says, oh, I'll catch it. He died on the spot because God's so glorious. Then we see him in the temple and only the high priest can go in there once a year. But when Jesus Christ died, what happened? That curtain from the temple tore from top to bottom, not bottom to top. Nobody ripped it. God ripped it top to bottom and opened it up. And what happened? Now for everybody who believes, where's that Spirit of God live? Where's that glory of God at? It's Christ in you. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
A powerful and encouraging truth. The glory of God is being manifested through our lives every day by the power and presence of Jesus. You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today, we're continuing a message titled Ministry Musts. If you'd like to revisit any of this informative lesson or share it with someone in your community, go to bravemedia.online. You'll find all of these daily programs there. And at Brave, we pray that these daily Bible teachings are helping you in your walk of faith and that they continue to strengthen your relationship with Christ. And if you'd like to help others experience the same spiritual encouragement, consider supporting our ministry with a one-time donation of any amount. You can give your financial gift today and keep these gospel lessons on the air by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online. If you'd like to send a check in the mail, you can do that as well. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Again, that's 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And before we end today, we'd like to invite you to join us for weekend services here at Brave Church. If you live near the Denver metro area, visit our campus in Englewood, or if you're closer to Westminster, make sure you visit our new campus there. Or join us from home wherever you are through our weekend live stream. For more details, go to bravemedia.online, scroll to the bottom, and click the button labeled Brave Church. Then be sure to link up with us on social media. You'll find us on most major platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, by searching for Brave Church Denver. Don't forget to click the like or follow button on our homepage. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Make plans to join us tomorrow for the conclusion of Pastor Jeff's message, Ministry Musts. That's coming up next time, right here on Brave, with Pastor Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.